Morning all. Morning, morning. Good to see you all. My name's Henry. I'm the guy to talk to if you want to come to the welcome lunch this afternoon. It's going to be good food. I promise you that. We're in the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 14 is what we're going to read. So do turn there. Do grab a Bible. Love you to be able to read along with us. Colossians 3, 1 to 14. Great. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these two you once walked, when you were living in them, but now you must put them away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'm going to say a prayer. I'm going to come onto this in a bit. But we've been doing real change in community groups over the last 6 weeks, where we take one thing and we think, how does the gospel bring hope and change in this situation? And my change project has been escapism, what we're going to be thinking about today. So I've got lots to say, partly because there's all these things that I want to change and how I want to grow to be more like Jesus. So I'm very much preaching to myself this morning. So I'm going to pray that God would help me and help us to set our minds on him. Let me pray. Father God, you are so good. Your good news, your gospel changes us. And when we truly grasp it, when we truly fix our eyes on Jesus, the things of this earth grow strangely dim in the light of your glory and grace. We pray that you would do that work in us now. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was in sixth form, maybe 16, 17, once a term, me and my friends would play a game, and we called it the McDonald's Challenge. It's very simple. Get in the car. During a free period at school, I studied hard at sixth form, and you drove to McDonald's, and the aim was to see if you can eat 3,000 calories. And you're looking at the champion. This guy, I can't do much, but I can eat a Big Mac. It's quite a lot of food. It's harder than you think. Maybe don't try this at home. Anyway, getting off track. The 3,000-calorie McDonald's challenge. One thing I remember about that challenge is how I felt at the end of it. I'd eaten a whole load of food, and in the moment it was pretty good, not gonna lie. But about half an hour later, I felt empty, felt hungry, felt empty, but I also felt really, really sleepy. The afternoon of school would be a complete train wreck because I was hungry, my tummy was rumbling, and I felt really sluggish and really, really sleepy. Have you ever tried to fill up on something to the extent that it just leaves you feeling sluggish and lethargic? Have you ever tried to bring your problems and stresses and strains of life, have you ever tried to escape them by filling up on content or food or something else and being just left feeling empty and being left feeling hungry and dissatisfied? Have you ever tried to squash your problems down and just pretend like they're not there and either mentally or physically run? That's escapism. That's the common struggle we're looking at today. That tendency we have to just go, I don't want to think about that now. I'm just going to fill myself. I'm going to go there. I'm going to do this. And if we're honest, that tendency doesn't satisfy us. It leaves us feeling empty and hungry. Whatever it could be, there's so many things we could choose to fill up on in this way. There's so many things we could choose to run to. But the news of the gospel, what we're going to find today is that if we're not running to Jesus, we're going to be left empty and we're going to be left hungry. The aim of this series, this common struggle series, as we've called it, this is the last one, is not to think, how do we get better? How do we try harder? But how does the gospel bring hope? How does the gospel work in us to change us? How does the good news of Jesus tell a better story than what the world offers? And I've got three reasons this morning why it's better to run to Jesus than run to earthly things, than to escape. Firstly, because escapism suppresses reality, and Jesus brings hope into our reality. That's the first reason. Second reason is, escapism brings temporary relief, but Jesus brings total security. And the third reason is, escapism leads to trudging through life, but Jesus in the gospel leads to a transformed life. So first thing, escapism suppresses reality, but Jesus brings hope. Sometimes when I'm on the beach, I like to play this game where I've got an inflatable ball or a beach ball, and I try and press it down into the water as hard as I can. And then I like to, it's a pop-up in my face, and the water goes everywhere, and it's hilarious. But sometimes, no matter how hard you push it down, the ball comes straight back at you, doesn't it? I can push it down as hard as I want. I can submerge it in as much water as I possibly can. But as soon as I stop pressing, that ball's going to pop back up. And sometimes you go for the big one. You throw your whole body over the ball, and then the ball just pops out the other side. Anyone played that game before? Something similar? Yes, love it. We've got some fun people in the room. That's what we do when we're escaping. We press our problems down. We try and submerge them in telly or food or entertainment or podcasts or whatever it is. We try and submerge our problems. We push and push and push. But as soon as we switch off the device or wake up, our problems are there again. Or even as we're pushing them down, the problem pops out in some unexpected way and reveals itself. Escapism, indulging in things, cannot fix our problems. And one thing I'm really keen we think about this morning is not how much are we, let's just use TV and screens for this example, just because they're everywhere, aren't they? They're in our pockets, they're in our bedrooms, they're as we walk down the street, screens and devices are everywhere. It's not about how much we are watching. I don't even want to think about what you should and shouldn't watch. I want to address the question of why. Why do we turn here? When problems and stresses arise, why are we going here? Why are we filling our minds with TV or screens or whatever it is? An example in my life, going through a pretty rubbish season the last couple of months, a season of grief, a season of sorrow. And there's times during these last few months where I've just needed a break. I've just needed to spend half an hour giving my mind a rest. And I think that's all right, isn't it? Just to switch off, just to as part of a healthy diet of rest, to give yourself a break for however long. But there's also been times when I've gone, I just don't want to think this evening. I just don't want to deal with what's in my mind. And so I bathe my mind. I submerge my problems in my favorite podcast or TV. It's not wrong to watch the TV screen, but when I'm bathing my mind until I fall asleep, It shows that that program, that thing, that whatever it is my refuge. It's my safe place. And the issue is that that thing can't do for me what I'm looking for it to do. It can't provide me hope. It can't provide me the rest that I am looking for. It's not a question here of, oh, that's right to do, that's wrong to do. There'll be wrong things to escape to, things that are in themselves wrong, but there's a whole range of things we can seek refuge in. The question is, what is best? What is best for me in that moment? When I'm feeling weighed down by the pressures of this world, what is the best thing for me to turn to? What can I run to? Who can I run to that's going to bring me rest and that's going to bring me hope? Because escapism just pushes my problems down. It submerges my problems. It suppresses reality. But what we find in these verses is that the gospel brings real, lasting hope. If you've got your Bible open, have a look down at verses 1 and 2. We've read them earlier in the service. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. There's a strange sentence at the beginning there. If you have been raised with Christ, that means if you believe and put your trust in Jesus Christ, what is true of Jesus in his death and his resurrection is true of you. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you have new life in you. You have been raised with him. And therefore, there is a certainty of where you're going, because this place above that talks about in verse 1, the place we're supposed to set our minds on the things above, that's where Jesus is. And if you're a believer, you have been raised with him. So Jesus has defeated death. He is in heaven. That's where you're going to. The door that used to lead to death has been remade into the door that leads to eternal life. We have a real hope where Jesus is. We have something to look forward to, a certain beautiful reality, which means there is a place that is bigger and more wonderful and more real than all my problems and all my situations in this life. I remember, again, back to school, sometimes at the end of term, I'd just be so bored and tired. What would I do? I would spend time daydreaming, looking into the future, thinking about summer holiday, thinking summer's coming. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. And that would help keep me going in the present. I would also prepare for summer. I would do things to get myself ready for summer. I might buy some new trainers. Might do things that helps me enjoy the summer that's coming. All of those things would help me to keep going in the here and now. And it's the same. The ultimate thing we can do to look forward to is look forward to heaven. If you're believing in Jesus, you have a final destination, the ultimate summer holiday that's never going to disappoint and never going to end. That's what we have to look forward to. And that is something worth seeking. There's also a person there. It's not just a place. It's not just an empty reality. Jesus Christ is in heaven. And he sat on his throne, sat at the right hand of God, ruling this world. He is the strong, mighty ruler of the universe. And he's also the savior of this universe. Jesus Christ sits down at the right hand of the Father. That's saying, my work is done. My work is complete. Jesus died and rose again. And those who believe in him are raised with him. As we believe in him, we enter into a finished work of salvation. And we have a savior who is strong and kind. Strong enough to save, kind enough to save sinful, broken people like me and you. Strong enough to rule this world, kind enough to die for the world that he made. He is the person to run to. He is the place and the person to which we can carry our burdens. He is the one who's strong enough to carry our burdens, kind enough to meet us there and say, I know what you're going through. Kind enough to be able to relate to us, kind enough to welcome us in, even though we're messy and broken. Because Jesus has been there. He suffered all sorts of pain, rejection, abuse, hardship, poverty. He's lived the hardest of hard. He's suffered to the deepest depths, and he wants to meet you there. And he says, believe in me and experience my resurrection life and know the hope that doesn't make our situations any less painful in the moment. It doesn't make our situations any less hard. It doesn't make life any less stressful in the here and now. But it brings hope that goes beyond our situations. It brings hope that never fades and never changes and leads to a healthy relationship with our hobbies, our our devices, our screens, because we're not looking for them to provide refuge. We're not looking for them to be our safe place, because we have an ultimate safe place. So we can enjoy those things for what they are, knowing that the ultimate safe place is found in Jesus. But it also brings a healthy relationship with our circumstances, because we can bring our circumstances honestly and openly to Jesus. We can say, Jesus, this is terrible, this is awful, and I know you understand. And I know you have worked in my life to bring hope. It's so freeing, it's so healthy, it's so restorative, it's so hope-filled. Escapism means we suppress, we try and forget about reality. The gospel, Jesus, allows us to acknowledge reality, but bathe our reality in hope that never fades. Let's look at the second thing. Escapism provides temporary relief, but the gospel brings true security. Escapism provides temporary relief. The gospel brings true security. And it's worth saying just now, this first reason and this second reason is more the why would you look to the gospel? And then reason number three, we're going to start thinking about the how and why and what difference it actually makes when the rubber hits the road. But reason number two, escapism brings temporary relief. The gospel brings true security. I wonder if you can recognize the lyrics of this song. If you don't, it's totally fine. You don't need to know the song. You don't need to know what program it's from. But the message is, stands the test of time. So no one told you life was going to be this way. Your job's a joke. You're broke. Your love life's DOA, whatever that means. It's like you're always stuck in second gear when it hasn't been your day, your week, your month, or even your year. I'll be there for you when the rain starts to fall. I'll be there for you like I've been there before. That is the simple promise of our favorite TV show, isn't it? That's a theme tune from a show called Friends. The promise is, and the attraction is, that it provides that kind of human connection that we long for. It provides that safe place we can go. It provides that constancy. No matter what you're going through, I know my favorite TV show will be there for me. I know that I can tune in and just have a bit of me time with the guys in Central Perk or whatever your favorite TV show is. That's the promise. And we just need to be careful not to expect too much from these things, again, because they can't provide us the refuge that we're looking for. A couple of years ago, the cast of Friends did a reunion. They were interviewed on TV. And one of the biggest reactions to this reunion, it was trending on Twitter, was hashtag old. That was just one of the trends on Twitter. People were blown away that the cast of Friends looked so much older than they did in the series. There was tweets like, I'm not sure I can watch Friends in the same way now because they look so much older. It's so sad that this has happened. But it's 20 years, isn't it? That's what happens over 20 years. We get a bit older. We change. And why was that reaction there? What was going on? People were rocked by the passing of time. It was a clear sign that something like Friends, our favorite TV show, can't be the ultimate safe place that we often look for it to be. That time moves on. People move on. People change. I think it was trending on Twitter. It was trending on Twitter because people were rocked by it. You could tell that from what they were saying. Escapism offers temporary relief, but the gospel offers true security. Verse 3 offers true security. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Just as everything that is true of Christ in his resurrection is true of the believer, so everything that is true of Jesus in his death is true of the believer. The old self, the mess of the past, the brokenness, the sins, past, present, and future, are dealt with and gone. We sung it earlier, our sin is dead and gone. So we can live like the chains are gone. That's the message of this passage. And now our lives are hidden within Christ, contained within him. So God looks on us and sees not our broken, messy past, but the life of Christ. Our lives protected, united with him, bound up with him inseparably. We are hidden with Christ. A picture from the Bible that helps us understand this It's the picture of Noah's ark. Noah built his boat, and his family went in, and all the animals went in, and they were kept safe from the battering and bruising of the waves, and they were carried through, safe through the storm, to the other side. If you believe in Jesus, you are in Christ. You are hidden in Christ, and he will keep you safe. He takes the battering and bruising of God's, of the punishment for sin, of God's wrath and anger against the brokenness and rebellion of this world. He keeps you safe, and we are hidden within him, and he will carry you through that into glory, which is verse 4. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. We are safe, hidden with Jesus, united with him, to the extent that when Christ, who is your life, appears, you're going to be there too. You're going to be there with him in glory, safe and secure, forever praising his name, forever in eternal, unrelenting joy. He will never let you go. The life and destiny of the believer are inseparably bound up with Jesus Christ. We are united, we are hidden, we are safe. Look at the with hims in this passage. We have been raised with Jesus. He is in heaven, so that's where we're going to go to. We are hidden with Jesus. He's dealt with our sin. He's brought us to himself. We belong to him. We are safe. And we will appear with him in glory. Present hope, past forgiven, future secure. That is the hope of the gospel, and that is why it's worth running to for our safe place. We're going to listen to this song in a minute that says, I have a shelter in the storm when constant winds would break me. For in my weakness, I have learned your strength will not forsake me. O Jesus, I will hide in you, the one who bears my burdens. With faithful hands that cannot fail, you'll bring me home to heaven. There's no greater place. There's no more secure refuge. There's no better place to run than the arms of Jesus Christ. When we're tempted to run to that thing for refuge, Jesus offers total security. That thing that's in your mind now that offers temporary relief for the evening but then brings a headache in the morning or just brings more stress in the morning, Jesus offers total security, total safety. And he will deliver you through to glory. So lastly, how do we pursue Jesus? How do we run to Jesus? What does that look like? And what difference does it make in our lives? Well, reason number three that I'm bringing today is escapism leads to trudging through life. And the gospel brings a transformed life. As I mentioned earlier, we've been doing real change in community groups. And we've all got this change project, which is one particular area of life that we want. We go, okay, God, I want to bring this to you, and I'd love to, for you to work in my life to make me more like Jesus. My change project is escapism. So I'm like an expert on this in a non-expert way, in that I really need help in this area. And where I see this in my life, here's a particular scenario. I'm playing with the kids, maybe we're building a train track, or Poppy's combing my hair, and if I'm honest, I sometimes just feel bored, and I want to be somewhere else. And so before I know it, I'm on my phone, I'm scrolling, I'm escaping into something different. And what that does, there's so many things that are wrong with that, but what that does at a really deep level is it turns me in on myself, and it brings what you might call a living for the weekend mentality into my life, or a living for 7 p.m. mentality. I become all about what I want. I will become all about getting my time. When this becomes a pattern in my life, I basically fix my eyes on 7 p.m. I get to 7 p.m., the kids are in bed, me time. But the problem is, that time very often, every time disappoints. Because it can't do what I'm looking for it to do. It can't do what I'm looking for it to do. And I think we need to be careful as a culture, because I think we're the first culture. This isn't some profound cultural analysis, it's just what I think I see. I think we're the first culture to put rest and me time and put it in with essential things that a human being needs to survive. We're the first culture to say, I need my rest, I need my comfort, I need my Netflix time. And we do that, don't we? We say, I need, and it's not wrong to rest, but it's what we're looking for in these things. What are we looking for when we go to, when I live for 7 p.m., what am I looking for here? I'm looking for my time to sustain me. I'm looking for life in that time. And what it leads me to be is weary and disgruntled and dissatisfied. And life becomes a trudge because I'm trudging to 7 p.m. And then I watch TV and then I go again. Life becomes a bit of a trudge, doesn't it, when we're looking to these things to satisfy us. What's the answer? We see it in verse 2. Set your minds on the things that are above. Set your minds on that place and that person. Set your minds on Jesus. What does that look like, to set your mind on Jesus? Well, if you've been in community groups this week, you'll have heard a picture similar to this. But we set our minds on things all the time. We focus on things all the time, and it changes our desires and our actions. It affects the way we live. Maybe you've got something in your mind that you want to buy. Maybe a T-shirt. Maybe you look at it online and you go, yeah, I like that T-shirt. And then you take that thought away with you, and you imagine yourself wearing the T-shirt. You imagine all the compliments you're going to get as you strut down the street wearing the T-shirt. You think about how that T-shirt is going to improve your life. You think about how these T-shirts I've got are not enough. I need this one T-shirt, and that's going to make my life better. And after I've got it, I won't need any more T-shirts because this T-shirt's going to complete my set. We think like that, don't we? We mull over it. We chew it over. And then what do? We desire it. We want it. We go back on the website. It starts to pop up on our phones, which is slightly strange, in those adverts that you get. And you go and you click and you buy. What you think about affects your actions. It changes us. And you imagine, you desire, and you act. You can put anything in there. You can put getting a takeaway in there. You can put going on holiday in there. You imagine that holiday. You desire that holiday. You go on that holiday. Not necessarily bad things in and of themselves, but why are we desiring them? Why are we looking to them? Why would we set our minds on Jesus in that way instead? Why would we make him the focus of our lives? What does that achieve? Well, as we said earlier, knowing that we are accepted, knowing that we are forgiven, gives us power to change. It gives us power to, as verse 5 says, put to death what is earthly in you. To rid yourselves of desires which used to control me, which used to be the be-all and end-all. Knowing that I'm accepted and secure in Jesus means I can be no longer controlled. I can think about putting to death things like that used to control me, like sexual desire or envy. It means I can put off anger and forgive. It means I can live in the truth rather than lying. I can start to think about these things. I can be changed. And verse 10, I can put on the new self, the restored self. I can become the person I was made to be as I set my mind on Jesus. And it's not just an individual thing. Verse 11 says it leads to a community where everyone is accepted, where everyone is valued. Setting your minds in Jesus connects you with God, and it connects you with other believers. It brings you into a family characterized by compassion, verse 12, forgiveness, 13, and love, verse 14, which binds all things together in perfect harmony. That's why we set our minds on Jesus. We focus on him. We fill our minds with him to the extent that we are changed and we're connected fully and finally with God, so that we have hope in every situation and we're connected with each other in family, in relationships that are characterized by love and forgiveness. Not perfection, because we're going to need to forgive each other. We're going to need to bear with each other, verse 13. We're going to need to keep putting off these desires because they're going to come back and come back and come back. But we're no longer controlled by them. We're no longer freed by them. I'm no longer looking for my satisfaction in desire X, desire Y, because I'm safe and secure in Jesus Christ. And I'm united to brothers and sisters in Jesus trying to do the same thing. That's something Netflix can't do. That's something that Twitter doesn't do. Twitter divides and says, I'm going to go with my people, and this is my timeline, and I'm going to argue against the people that disagree with me. The gospel connects you with the living God and helps you become the person you were created to be. And it connects you with believers striving in the same direction. It brings peace into your life, love and hope. That's the fruit. That's why you set your minds on Jesus. Will we be people that pursue Jesus? Will we be people that when we're stressed and in pain, would we run to him? Not would we never watch TV again, not that would we never eat chocolate again, but would our refuge, would the place we go in times of trouble be the Lord Jesus Christ? Would we fill our minds with his word? Would we carve out time for Jesus in our lives? We carve out time for hobbies and TV and food. Would we carve out time in our lives for Jesus, to focus on him, to not just to be like, tick, quiet time done, but to focus on him and to fill our minds with his words to the extent that we are changed? And would we take those words with us into day-to-day life, thinking about them, mulling on them? I do this with my football team. I watch the match, then I think of a podcast, and I listen to a podcast, and I'm thinking on it, I'm chewing on it, and then it changes me. It helps me love my football team more. It's a really human thing. We do it all the time. Would we do that with Jesus? Would you feast on his word? Would you think about his word, not until you finish the passage, but until you, as George Muller says, you are made happy in God. Until you are, you sense God's presence, until you are moved to say, I'm going to not live like that. I'm going to change and I'm going to pursue Jesus. Would we be a people that set our minds, that seek after God? Because the promise is, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. Not just glance, not just 5 minutes at the beginning of the day. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim. Those desires, those things which I used to look to provide my satisfaction, they will lose their grip, and I'll be free to know an ultimate hope that goes beyond anything. Look full in his wonderful face. The things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let me pray for us. Jesus, I need help with this. I struggle with this every single day. At the end of that stressful day, and the end of that painful situation, when the grief hits, when the sorrows roll, I just sometimes want to switch on the telly and forget all about it. Would you help us, God, to set our minds on you? Would you be our greatest passion? Would you be our greatest desire? Would your love and your peace and your mercy be the place our minds go when we are bored and when we are feeling stressed and anxious and hurt? Would we throw ourselves on you? Would we set our minds, focus on you? Help us to do that. And help us to be changed by that. Help us to be a people connected to you, connected to each other, bound together in love for you and for each other. God, we pray, we ask that you would do that. We can't do that ourselves. We pray that you would come and you'd work amongst us. Help us to be people that delight and follow and pursue the Lord Jesus. We pray this in his name. Amen.